Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you please take a moment and shake the hand of your neighbor, pat him on the back, and say, "Welcome to worship." Never was happy with it.
That last song, I was like, "Were we in the house at all?" And you had a song like that over here. Oh,
yeah. A few announcements we'll make as we get started this morning. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, we have pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could fill this out for us, give us your name, any contact information, check the appropriate boxes, send it down once you're finished with it so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to that last person, once you're done filling it out, if you could send it back to where it got started, we would appreciate that. We do ask the first person, when it gets back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us out with that. A few announcements we'll make. Reminder to our youth, we are going to Emerald Point this Tuesday. Tickets are $10, and all the information is on the youth website. Make sure you know about that. Next Saturday is our mission, our family mission day. This is the second of three Saturdays that we have set aside this summer to serve our local community. We did this last month. This coming Saturday at 8:30, we're inviting all those who are interested in serving to be here at the church. We will divide up into teams and go to probably three or four different projects around the area and to do some light construction, cleanup, light painting, things. And those projects will be comprised of people across the generations. We encourage families to come together, and we will put you in teams, send you out, give you directions, and we will do those together next Saturday morning. Most projects should be done no later than noon, so you'll have the rest of the day. But if you're if you'll be joining us, we'd like for you to either call the church office and leave me a voicemail, or you can send an email to me. It's jeffa@collegeparkbaptist.org. Love to have you come and be a part of that. I'd like to know by this Wednesday how many are coming. That helps us plan to the number of projects that we need. Thanks for helping us out with that. Also, our children's day camp is coming up in a couple of weeks. Sign-ups are ongoing right now. If you find the children's section of the website, you'll find a way to register there online and get all the information about day camp. We're looking forward to that. Many other announcements that you'll find there listed in the bulletin, including this Wednesday, our Forgotten God study, which will continue this week. Many other things there listed. It was a good week in Greenville. It was a pretty hot week in Greenville, but it was a good week in Greenville. We hammered a lot of nails, didn't we, Big Rod? There were a lot of nails that went in that house, but it's still standing. Well, it was standing. We're so thankful for all the people who are able to be a part of that through their attendance there in Greenville, or through prayer here, or through providing food and supplies. It is a church. A church-wide event, and we're very, very thankful for all that God has done through that project. There will be more about that in the coming weeks. We've got some exciting announcements about that. So we're just thankful for what God did this past week. Any other announcements? Any other? All right. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. A few moments ago, you gave us your information on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. We would like to give something back to you, just tell you a little bit about ourselves, about College Park. So if you're a guest this morning, just raise your hand. Our ushers will come down the aisles now, and they will recognize you and just give you a packet of information. In the packet, You will find a letter from our pastor, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. Also a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being here this morning. And we pray God would speak to you in a special way during this time of worship. Sometimes I think we fall into the trap of thinking we can only worship God when we're in a pew or when we have nice clothes on or when it's Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. How often do we forget that God is right next to us at our workplaces, on a mission site, in a car on the way to a mission site, at a restaurant just after Sunday worship? God is there. And he calls us not to worship occasionally. He calls us to worship every day with everything that we have. So in light of that, for all that he has done for you and for me, are you ready to worship? As the body of Christ gather together in his name, he has called you and I to forget our troubles because he's got the answer. He has the answer for you this morning. Let us prepare to worship.
Be joyful and sing joyful praise. The Lord leads his children in wonderful ways. Be joyful in spirit, be bound. It's time for rejoicing, be grateful, sing out. Be joyful and praise him, for Christ is the Lord.
God, we come before you this morning, Lord, bringing our praise, Lord, bringing our hearts, Lord, bringing all that is within us this morning. Lord, as we worship together, Lord, as your spirit is in this place, Lord, help us to give up those hurts. Help us to give up our questions this morning. Lord, help us to open our hearts to your peace and to your joy. Lord, help us to hear your word, to remember the promises that you've given. And Lord, help us as we leave this place this morning and in coming days to glorify you with our lives, with our thoughts, with our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
right, all the kids, come on down. Come on down. All right. Oh, it's good to see everybody this morning. There's Jack. Come on, Jack. We'll wait for you. How's everybody doing? Good. All right. Hey, Jack. Okay, I have a question for you. Have you or your mom or your dad ever gotten lost going somewhere? Do you have any stories you could tell about? No? No, you are very smart children. Never tell stories on mom and dad. Well, let me ask this question. Let me change it up a little bit. Okay, tell me if your mom or dad ask you to go to the mailbox and get the mail, and you're in your room, tell me every step it would take to get from your room to the mailbox and back. All right, tell me. Okay. Got to get out of the house. So you go out of your room, and do you go upstairs or downstairs or just out the door?
Downstairs.
Out the door. Up your driveway. Go this way. Okay. And then you get to the mailbox. Then what do? Does the mail just flop out or do you have to do something? Oh, you have to open the door. And then does it just kind of fly out or do you have to reach in and get it? Okay, you reach in and get it. And then how do you get back to the house? Okay, just backwards. How did you know how to do that? How did you know to go get the mail? Just figure it out. You know places around your house. You know how to get around there, right? So your mom and your dad, when you were little, probably taught you the places to go, right? You already knew them. I know. You already knew them. The first question I ask you, if your parents ever got lost, well, there are these great inventions. These are called GPS's, right? What is a GPS for? Some of you all have this in your car?
Yeah.
You can find where you're. It's like a map, and it tells you what to do, right? It tells you which way to go, right? Just like you knew the steps to take to go to the mailbox, if you want to go somewhere, you just plug that in to the GPS, and it tells you this is the directions to get to my house, right? You can see that? Says you have to get to Polo Road, which is right out here, and then you go to Rinalda, and you keep going for a long time, and I'm going to stop right there in case anybody finds out where I live. Okay? But we use these things to find out how to get somewhere.
Like the beach.
Like the beach. Oh, I need to plug that in right now. Don't you think I should plug that in right now? But here's something. I want to read you a verse from the Bible. This comes from Psalm chapter 25, okay? Verse 4 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me." Now, in our lives, sometimes we get lost and we get scared. Have you ever gotten scared? Maybe sometimes you got lost and you didn't know where mom or dad was. Lost in the mall? That was scary, wasn't it? You just hid. Okay. See, that was smart. It's scary to get lost in a mall. Or it's scary. But you know what? Sometimes in our life we get scared about things too. Sometimes we get lost. But guess what? Guess who's always with you? Always. God is always with us. And He teaches us in this work. In His Word, that He's going to show us how to go. He's like our GPS.
Yeah.
He's going to show you every step.
He's like your map.
He's your map, absolutely. And He wants us to read this. He wants us to read the Bible so that we can learn which way to go. So that it's just going to be just as easy as going to your mailbox to follow Him step by step. All right? Can you remember that? GPS? Remember that? Yep, the map. And God's going to show you the way. Okay? Let's pray together. God, we love you, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to hang out with you every day. You're going to show us how you want us to go and where the things that you want us to say, the places you want us to be. Help us to follow that. Sometimes we want to do things on our own. But God, you want us to follow you. You want to show us your ways and teach us about your path. Help us to follow that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great day. Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're reading the first 11 verses. I invite you to, if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one there in the pew in front of you. I'll be reading out the New International Version. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Hear the Apostle Paul speak. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. May we pray together. Father, this morning, as we pause to read your word, we hear Paul speak about living our lives in the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit. Father, so often we find ourselves conflicted between following our own path, our own desires, our own ways. And so often those ways are sinful, prideful, arrogant, thinking that we can do this life on our own. Father, remind us this morning that we cannot breathe without you. We have no existence apart from you. It is through your Spirit that we have purpose and that we have strength. And Father, we often get lost in our lives, searching for those things that we think are good, but often distract us from you. Help us this day to be convicted of those areas of our lives when we have not given you control. Show us in your word the truths that we need to hear. May we be lights to the people around us. May they see that our purpose is to live the life in the Holy Spirit, letting Him guide us, letting Him direct us. That is what this world needs, to see people so committed to you, they will follow you wherever they go. As we continue in this time of worship, may we rejoice that millions of Christians are worshiping together today in different places around this world, different parts, some in small homes, hidden from authorities, scared of persecution, and they worship. Some in great cathedrals, hundreds of years old, and they worship. May we recognize you as the focus of all of our worship and the source of our strength. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You know, a couple of weekends ago, we did a local mission project. We're going to do that, be doing that again this coming Saturday. And then, of course, this past week, we built the house down in Pitt County. And, you know, when we do these things, we're not only being a blessing to the people who have the need, but we're also putting a positive face on Christianity to the outside world to offset all the negativity you hear. And your stewardship makes this possible. Okay, let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for another day and all the opportunities that it brings. And we thank you for your grace and faithfulness and all the many blessings which we continue to receive. Now we give a small portion of these blessings back to you. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver. Amen.
should go wrong. Calamity only strikes once. You assume that this one has suffered her share. Life will be kinder from here.
I asked Roy Johnson out in the hallway, and he asked me what I was preaching on this morning. I said, we're looking at Psalm 25. And he says, you know, I love the Psalms. You don't hear them preached a lot anymore. And I said, well, Roy, that's true, but we've been on them for the last 3 weeks. Week before last, we were in Psalm 8. Last week, we're in 127. And this week, we're in Psalm 25. And he said, oh, and that's a good thing. I said, yes, it is, brother. It sure is. Psalm 25. I encourage, we were talking in the 9 o'clock service, talking about reading the Psalms. And I encourage you to do that. Let's see if your math's any better than their math. There's 150 Psalms. So if you read one a day, then you'll get finished with the Psalms in about how many months? Good. Oh, great. Good. Good. We got 5 from somebody behind us. We didn't get that this morning. I don't know what the math was going on. Maybe it was a little too early or whatever. And it really is. I mean, it is an uplifting thing. They tried to lay the excuse down, well, some of those take more than one day to read, but anyway, I wasn't buying it. And Psalms is a great, one a day is a good thing to kind of get you in the day. There are Proverbs. There are 31 Proverbs. So if you read one a day, you can read through all of Proverbs in about how many months? Good. Fantastic. Fantastic. So if you read one Psalm and one Proverb, then you'll read Psalms, you'll read Proverbs through five times more times, which is good because Proverbs is wisdom and we all need more wisdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. But we're going to read today, after all of that, we're going to read Psalm 25. And I invite you, take your Bible, because we'll be referring back to this Psalm. But I want us to read it together. And if you want to, you can just close your eyes and listen. Maybe if this is a Psalm you're not that familiar with and you just want to hear it, that's fine. But follow along if you would like to kind of follow along and read it. I'll be reading beginning verse 1. We'll read the whole Psalm. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles. May God bless the reading of his holy word. A beautiful, beautiful text. Think of all the material that we learn through songs, and the Psalms are songs. Think of all the material we learn through songs and rhymes and poems and other mnemonic type of devices when we were children. How many of you, when I say, okay, I need you to recite the alphabet, how many of you can actually do it without hearing the little song in the back of your mind? It's hard to do because we learned it that way in school. A, B, C, D, and sometimes you get in the middle, M-N-O-P-Q-R-S, and you kind of move along. How many can really do it without that? How many of you can tell me how many days are in September without doing the 30 days of September? Yeah, okay. How many of you can do that? And even more than that, how many can name the colors of the rainbow in order of their hue on the visible spectrum without first thinking about Roy G. Biv? That's right. We think about that stuff. You see, our minds, we like patterns. We like patterns, and these mnemonic type of devices aid our memory. They help us to recall information by finding associations between new information to be learned and information we already know. How many of you, when you were in college or high school and you had to memorize a list of stuff, made an acrostic out of it? took the first letter and then made a sentence out of that so you could remember it. Well, that's pretty good for short-term memory, but sometimes you couldn't record it. You couldn't remember it a couple weeks later. But our mind likes to take things that we already know, and if we have to learn something differently, we make associations between that. But the effectiveness of these type of mnemonic type devices, it's not a recent discovery. And we know that ancient writers used similar techniques to make their words memorable to the people who would hear them. Psalm 25, interestingly enough, is a perfect example of the use of a mnemonic device by an author of an ancient text. It's a perfect example. It's not evident to us. If you look at that and you go, well, how is that, Raymond? I'm looking at this thing and I really don't see any kind of pattern. Well, we wouldn't. We wouldn't in English. But see, for those who were hearing it for the first time, those who spoke Hebrew, they would have got it. Because in the original Hebrew, each verse begins with a successive letter of the alphabet. So it's kind of an acrostic poem. Each one begins with, and how cool is that? It's kind of like if we would be saying A is for apple, B is for bat, you know, and go that way. Now, obviously, the poem is a lot more significant, you know, from the Psalms than something we would memorize like that. But it's a handy tool for remembering the words. And so the Hebrew people, as they heard this psalm sung, as they read it for themselves, they would get the flow of it. And it would help them to remember all that David was writing. And we're assuming David is the author. And as such, he encourages us to remember his words and his teachings, and he built in a device whereby we could do that. So when we remember the words of this psalm, we remember that we are students of God's ways and that God cares enough about us to teach us and to lead us, just as Jeff was teaching the children. God loves us, so he wants to lead us. He wants to teach us. And whereas many psalms appeal directly to the heart, and David was kind of a feeler. I mean, he would kind of pour out his heart as he was writing. Many of those appeal to the heart, but this one, this particular psalm, speaks very well to our minds as well. Psalm 25 is packed with the language and the imagery of learning and leading. Look at the words in there. He uses teach, he uses instruct, he uses lead, he uses know. He uses those kind of words, and they're sprinkled all through the psalm as David pleads with God to deliver him from the troubles of his heart. Now, we don't know exactly what he was going through. David had a lot of trials. He had a lot of times in his life when he could have written this and called out to God, lead me, God, teach me your ways, spare me from my enemies, you know? He had ample reasons along his journey to believe that God's instruction is exactly what he needed to see him through his troubles. And when we remember the words of Psalm 25, we remember that God not only can teach us and can guide us and lead us, but he can handle all of that pain, all of the anxiety, all the confessions of our heart. Three times in Psalm 25, the psalmist appeals to God's hesed. That is a Hebrew word. It's spelled H-E-S-E-D, and there have been entire books written on exactly what that word means. But in essence, the psalmist is appealing to God's mercy, to God's steadfast love, to God's faithfulness. It really is a rather bold request that David makes when he pleads with God to remember him according to God's hesed and to forgive the sins of his youth. Now, it may seem a little risky to approach God and to ask God to forget something from the past, but frankly, I'm very reassured by the psalmist's request. Think about it. How many times have you wondered if you had unconfessed sin in your life? And you go, God, I'm not sure how to do this, but by your mercy, I ask you to forgive all the sin of my past that I just don't remember. I don't recall. And we trust God through his mercy and through his grace to forgive all those. So it's a beautiful picture, really, that David is painting for us to approach God and say, God, forgive the sins of my youth. Forgive the sins of my past. They're numerous. I don't remember all of them, but please forgive them. It's a beautiful picture. You know, because sometimes we hold back our questions. Sometimes we're afraid to make a request of God that He be generous and that He love us unconditionally and that He be merciful. Sometimes we water down our prayers and our laments in order not to sound as though we're challenging God. We're afraid of what might happen if we're completely honest about our questions and our doubts and our anxieties. And Psalm 25 reminds us, it reassures us that God can handle all that stuff. He can handle that weakness. He can handle all of our inadequacies. He can do it. And if we're willing learners, God will instruct us. He will lead us so that we can better learn how to walk in His path so we don't have as much heartache. He will instruct us and lead us in the paths of His steadfastness, His love, and His faithfulness in His chesed. I can't help but think as I read through this, thought kind of organized my thoughts last night, I couldn't help but think about Mrs. House, Beatrice House, the lady that we came to know this week by being in Winterville. She had experienced a lot of hardship in her life, and it didn't take long talking to her to figure out that she was a lady that trusted the Lord. You know, and in spite of all of her hardship, I'm sure that there's been times when she questioned her circumstances, when she had some honest, you know, talk to God moments about what is going on in my life. They said they're going to do this. They said they're going to do that. They said, and here I still sit. And God, what are you trying to teach me? And God, what can I learn from this? But all that came through is y'all were sent by God. You were sent by God. You're angels. You are sent by God to help me. And all of it was all grateful speech. It was unbelievable to know what she had been through and still, I guarantee if she were standing here this morning, she wouldn't complain. Instead, she would tell us about how God had taught her and how she's better able to walk in the path of His steadfast love and His faithfulness. It's a beautiful picture. What a marvelous lady. Painted a beautiful portrait of God's faithfulness. So we remember her. We remember David's words. And when we remember the words of this psalm, we also need to remember that they're part of our own stories. They're part of our own journey. You know, like David, we've made mistakes. Amen? We've all made mistakes. We've hurt other people with our words and our actions. We've done harm through our inaction. We've ignored those who are in need. We've not taken care of ourselves as well as we should have. We've sinned against others. We've sinned against ourselves. We've sinned against God more times than we want to remember or admit. But Psalm 25 gives us hope that despite all of this, we can appeal to God with humble hearts to take away our shame. And being taught in the ways of the Lord may not immediately eliminate our pain. And we need to understand that. David realized this. He wrote, "My hope is in you all day long." You see, he understood that the shame may not go away today. The mistakes of the past may not be completely resolved today. The process of learning takes a lifetime. But God can't take away our shame. He will forgive us. His steadfast love will see us through. But we know that our instruction comes from a merciful and loving God, which gives us hope to keep on learning. Knowing that we lead lives of sin, Psalm 25 is worth keeping so that we can always access it. Keep it close by. The psalmist, David, wrote it so the people that were hearing it could begin memorizing the words. They could begin memorizing this acrostic poem because he wanted them to know that because he knew the significance of the words in the lives of everyone who desires to learn from God. Keep it close. Memorize it. And it's in the act of studying and rehearsing and memorizing and learning that these words become a part of who we are. One author tells of a lovely Hasidic story of a rabbi who always told his people that if they studied the Torah, it would put scripture on their hearts. One of them asked, "Dear rabbi, why on our heart and not in our heart?" And the rabbi answered, only God can put Scripture inside. But reading sacred text can put it on your heart. And then when your heart breaks, the holy words fall inside. That's a beautiful picture. You see, when our hearts do break, when we have no idea which way is God's path, and when our lives seem confused and directionless, may these words be on our heart. Verse 4, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. And as we continue to pray these words and learn from God, may these words fall inside of our heart. Verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Most of us do not have the benefit of knowing Hebrew. So perhaps David's artful construction, this masterpiece of theology, may seem a little lost on us because we really can't memorize it as an acrostic. But we can keep it close. We can make it a part of our daily reading cycle. Keep it close to your heart. Keep it close to your mind. Understand that God truly does want the best for you. He does want you to learn His ways. He does want you to walk in His ways. He does want you to know His Word so it can guide your steps. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for your Word and how it's alive, how it comes alive in our hearts as we read and as we learn and as we memorize and lay it upon our heart. And God, we pray that as our hearts break and that becomes a part of who we are, that you would continue to teach us and guide us. Give us your strength. Give us your Spirit to walk with us daily, to instruct us, to correct us, to encourage us. God, we're thankful that we're your children. And on those days where we seem lost, pull us to your side. Give us your path. Give us a gentle nudge in the right direction. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we are a people who serve a risen Savior. And that risen Savior, Jesus Christ, would love to have a relationship with you. I'll be glad to share with you. We're going to sing in just a moment. I'll be standing here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Jesus. If you don't want to come down here, that's fine. Call me this week. I'll be glad to come meet you and talk with you about it. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I am a believer and I get all that, but sometimes I'm just kind of lose my way. And I want to pray that God will help me to walk by His strength and by His words daily. That's certainly this morning and you're a believer or you would like to talk with me about church membership. I'll be glad to talk with you. There's many ways that we receive members, and I'll be glad to walk you through that and talk with you about church membership here. But whatever your decision is this morning, we invite you to make that public so we now stand and sing together. remain standing for the benediction. Following the benediction response, I encourage you to greet one another. I give each other a hug, handshake, word of encouragement as you go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious God, merciful God, we thank you for the blessings of this day, the gift of life that you give us, and the gift of life eternal that you give us through Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that as we go from this place, we would walk in the Spirit, and that you would teach us and guide us each step along the way. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.